I can tell you that. But we are delighted to be here and honored to take just a few moments. Let me pray. And what we're going to look tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Why? Because that's what I'm reading. I just started this a couple days ago. So what I want to do is just tell you what I have thought over the last couple days. Does that sound fair enough? All right, good. And what that may mean is that this is short. This is like a devotional, a challenge. You know, that's like the kiss of death when a guy says, "Now I'm not going to be long tonight." Don't ever say that because I haven't juiced up. This is what I've read recently, so we'll look at this together in just a moment. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you that we can meet on the kind of a soupy, gloomy Wednesday night and be encouraged by one another, by your word, and pray for what we need and the things that are beyond us. And thank you, God, that nothing is beyond you. And so you know the needs tonight. I do not. And I just pray that what you've said and what we see and how this is applied will be a help to us and honoring to you, I pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, let me get my place. I haven't done it myself yet. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Do you have a problem? You say, what? No, do you have a problem? You know, if you do, then you're in pretty good company. The Corinthian believers had a problem. And the problem was not actually their problem. The problem was they're comparing themselves to other people. Do you ever do that? You know, there was a time when you had to work at comparing yourselves. You could only do it Sunday and maybe Wednesday and then at work, you know, in the mornings. But now, because we're all on social media, we're so social now, you can glimpse right into people's homes, their beautiful home and their pristine marriage and their beautiful children and their perfect day and how spiritual they are and how smart they are and how wise they are and how irritating that is when people are so perfect. It's, you know, people relate to your problems. If I got tonight and told you how I had a blowout last week and how I was sick last month, and you'd relate to that, right? You relate to problems. If I told you how great I was and I was in this massive church and amazing things happened, you'd say, you know, I don't relate to that, right? So we all have this problem of comparison. If you look at, good night, I'm going to need my glasses tonight. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 10. God says to the Apostle Paul, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he has authority for this. He's invoking the Lord Jesus, who is our example, by the way, in all of this, "that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Well, that's pretty unambiguous, is it not? Same thing, joined together, same mind, same judgment. That's harder than it sounds, isn't it? You know, if I were to say, well, I'll just do it just for fun to distract you. How many of you are a little bit cold right now? Anyone cold right now? Take note, Pastor. This is incredible. Anyone a little bit hot? Okay. Anyone just right? Okay. My goal was to create an insurrection. You know how hard it would be for the Lord, I speak reverently, to please everyone with the weather in your city? Pastor can't even please everyone with the weather in this room. It's amazing. So to be joined together, to have the same mind. Look, do you have opinions? Do you have convictions? Do you have a background? You're not like everyone in this room, and yet we're joined together in this body, the body of Christ. So that's verse 10. Verse 11 says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you." All right, someone's been talking, someone's been tattling. I'm saying this to you because it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this is so easy to do. Contentions are so easy. And contentions generally are created through comparison. If I never saw anybody, I'd never be discontent because I wouldn't know any better, right? But when you get out, you say, oh, wait, he has a newer iPhone than I do? What? They have a new one? Well, I can't afford that. And comparison is just natural. It's what we naturally do. You know, you can even compare things that should be noble. In the lobby, you have a board, as churches have done for years, that gives the attendance from last Sunday and the attendance from the Sunday before, perhaps. I didn't look, but maybe offerings. I don't know what you put back there. And that's good. That's not bad. But even good things, you know, we can compare. So, how many did you baptize last year? Now, I would tell you, there's a ditch on both sides, and I think we've pendulum swung. Back in the 70s, we were obsessed, it seems, with numbers. And now, you know, a year can go by, nothing happens, and we don't care. And I'm telling you, there's somewhere in the middle that probably is where we should be. But having said that, look at verse 14. I think that's where it is. Let's take verse 13. No, let's take verse 12. There we go. Paul goes on to say, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos." He was an orator. He was a great speaker. "I am of Cephas," or Peter, "and I of Christ." So here are all these people. They were divided. And they were divided following good people. These weren't bad people. And as far as we know, these people were in contention themselves. But this was an excuse to be divided. Paul says, is Christ divided? Well, what's the answer to that? No. Was Paul crucified for you? What's the answer to that? No, you're doing great so far. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, that would be blasphemous. He goes on to say, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Why? Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. He goes on to say, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. I didn't do any baptizing. So, you know, we can compare baptisms. You know, I was telling a young evangelist, I'm privileged to teach the evangelist class this week. And here's the loaded question. If pastors ask this, if anyone asks this, good night, it's so transparent. You can see it coming a mile away. So, Brother Will, are you busy? And let me, I told the evangelist, let me just give you the help here. Do not say, yeah, I'm not busy. I'm wide open. I can come anytime. Pastors don't want guys that aren't busy. Isn't that crazy? If they can't get you, then they want you. If they can get you, they don't want you. That's the way it works. So the right answer is, oh, busy, 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 busy. I preach in Indianapolis Sunday. I'll be in Orlando next Sunday. True story. Travel hundreds and thousands of miles. Oh, busy, 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 busy. Friend, everyone's busy. Everyone's busy. So I'm all for busy evangelists and guys that fly, you know, the red eye to make it to the next. It's all fine, but that can easily break out into comparisons. Numbers, how many did you have in church? Your favorite preacher, how many of you have a favorite preacher? How many of you have a top five? Anyone? How many of you sleep all the time so you don't know? Okay, no, you got a favorite preacher, and there's nothing wrong with it. I do. The older I get, the more opinionated I become, and I'm not sure that's good. But I know what I like, right? I know what preachers I like. But even that can be a problem. Apollos, I just read about him in Acts last month. The guy was an orator. He would have been intimidating. And we'll come back to him, I think, in a few moments. But the bottom line is, some were saying, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos and Peter, he's our guy. They were even divided over their favorite preacher. So what does Paul say? Have the same mind, be perfectly joined together. You know, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Well, that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty much to the point. And we might be, because it's such a bald statement, we might be tempted to say, well, there are times when we have contention when there isn't pride. You know, not many. Do you realize how much smoother life would be if you just didn't care? Now, I'm not suggesting you not care, but I am suggesting that you not be careful, you not be anxious, and you not be worried about how you compare with other people. So, only by pride comes contention. Verse 29, quickly, would you look there? Paul goes on to say, I'm picking up midstream, that no flesh should glory or boast in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, he that brags, he that boasts, let him glory in the Lord. Friend, God made you. God made you with the gifts you have. God made you with the opportunities you had. God's put you in the place he has. Do not compare yourself to other people. That is not wise. So let me tell you the question you should be asking. All right? Here's the question. The question that just makes everything the way it ought to be. And Pastor, I'll just ask you, what time do you finish preaching? Because I'm going to be done. Okay, I'll be done at 7:30. No later. That's 5 minutes. Okay. So look, here's the question. What does God want? Now, we're not going to talk about how do you know what God wants, because it's not addressed in the text and we wouldn't have time. But look, if I stop worrying about everybody else and how I'm perceived and all this other stuff, and I just think, what does God want in this? I've got a decision before me. Or I come to church and I see someone else. What does God want? That really slices through a lot in life. It really simplifies life. What does God want? I won't take the time, but you can look at verses 1, 2, 9, and 26. Okay. 1, 2, 9, and 26. This is from Monday or whenever, Friday, last Friday. Okay. What is this? Paul called to be an apostle. It was God's call. It wasn't Paul's call. Verse 2. The church of Corinth, which are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He was called to be an apostle. They were called to be saints. God called them, and they responded. I said I wasn't going to look at these, but we are, I guess. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of the Son. God's the one that called. God's the one that created. God's the one that called. That takes the screws off. I don't have to be anything God didn't make me to be. And I can't be more than God made me to be, or that's a sham. So here's what I've come to say. Let me say it. Sermon in the sentence. I'll give three. Don't, and then we're done. If I can do it in 5 minutes. If I can't, then we'll just get 1 point. How's that? Okay? I'm not fishing, Pastor. Okay, look. Humility is that frame of mind that pushes you to ask, what does God want? Humility is that frame of mind that pushes you to ask, what does God want? Not, look at that sweater Brother Henry's wearing. I wish I had one like that. Hey, what does God want? I love Brother Henry, but what does God want? You know? I saw that car Brother Macbeth drove. Boy, I don't know what you drove, but, you know, that bicycle I have out in the parking lot, boy, I don't know about that. No, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's what does God want? Called by God. Called by God. Called by God. We missed one example, but called by God. So what would God call for? I know what I want. I know what I would call for, but what does God call for? Now, let me quickly give you three. Let me give you three bad substitutes for this question. May I real quickly? I think you can find these actually in the text. Number one, my station. Instead of asking, what does God want? I ask myself, what is my station? Okay, what is my position? Am I more important in the hierarchy? And by the way, hierarchies are not evil. I know they've gotten a bad rap and there can be wrong. But God made husbands and wives, and God made pastors, and God made me, God made you, and we all have a place in this world that God gave us. And when we all are what God made us, it's a beautiful thing. So what does God want? Not what is my station. Paul said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, I just read this, but I didn't just memorize that yesterday. But my point is, you know, if I'm always worried about, hey, you know, I'm at church, is pastor going to recognize me tonight? That's worrying about my station and saying, instead of saying to myself, hey, what does God want? What does God want for my being here tonight? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I be a blessing to pastor? What does God want? Not, what do I want? What's my station? You know, did he call me the right title? That's silly, but Paul says later, I didn't write down where, but he says we're laborers together. Later he says, you're God's farm, you're God's building, you're God's temple, you're God's husbandry. So everything I am and everything I will be, I am God's. I am God's farm. I won't go into the allusion there. I'm God's building. I'm God's temple. That could be its own sermon, but the point is it's a fact. So humility is that frame of mind that pushes me to ask, what does God want? Not, what is my station? Number two, bad substitute is my reputation. Now, it's not as if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what people think. It does matter. But reputation's not as important as what does God want. What if what God wants lowers my reputation? Then hang it. What does God want? Not what do I want? Verse 4 says, I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus And that's a great verse, but I'm trying to think why I would have put that in there. But I did. Okay. The bottom line is, I see. The grace of God, which is given you. So it was given you. What I have is a gift. God gave. Verses 5 through 8 say the same thing again. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all about Christ. Reputation. Verse 10, he says, speak the same thing. He says, be joined together, same mind, same judgment. So reputation is not unimportant, but it's not the most important thing in my life. If all my decisions are based on how will this place me in the hierarchy and how will this place me in my reputation, then I'm going to miss out on so many good things that God would have me to do. The question that humility asks is, what does God want? God called him to be apostle. Paul was an apostle because he was great. Paul was an apostle because he was obedient. You can't do better than that. One more thing and we're done. And that is a third bad substitute for asking what does God want is, you know, my advancement. That is, how does this advance my, you know, advance what I want? How does this advance my agenda? And sometimes if I'm doing what God has asked me to do, it may not advance me at all. Verse 8 says, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ who confirms us. It's God who, the Bible tells us that promotion comes not from the east or the west, but from God. So, look, tonight, do you have a problem? Whatever your problems may be, they are much worse when we start to look around, aren't they? Because what I've noticed just with myself is either I think I'm better than someone else when I look around, and that makes me a little smug and arrogant, or I think I'm a little deficient and I feel a little jealous, and neither one of those is good. A place of great freedom is just to say, hey, God, what do you want? Not my station, not my reputation, not my advancement. What do you want? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for 1 Corinthians, and thank you for our brothers and sisters here tonight. Please bless us by the considering